Okay, our agenda for today, hopefully let's try to get it done today, is to finish Kotzer. Finish Kotzer today, and we will, God willing, gather tomorrow morning for Ma'amer, and hopefully have that done in the 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday. Seems like a reasonable goal. And our discussion about Kotzer, just so you have the framework in mind, so this is essentially the third day that we're talking about it, and each one has been kind of a distinct unit. So we spent the first day talking about our general theory that it's a positive malacha of obtaining this fruit or this produce. We talked about how that could have some ramifications on the issue of what the ava of kotzer is and whether we need specifically to require the item that we're taking, etc., etc. And then we spent the second day focused on the central issue of the definition of what constitutes kotzer in terms of it being cutting something off from its unika or detaching that which is attached. And again, working to fit that in with a theory that we're essentially doing something positive, that we're essentially creating a distinct unit, whether that means separating something so it's no longer attached and it's distinct, or making something no longer dependent on another entity for its existence, but all geared towards individuating this item. So today, phase three, which we've slated as the last phase, basically we're bringing this together with our halacha l'maisa discussion. I would like to talk about basically the issue of tolish, which seems to be a tolda, is a short discussion in the Gemara here. The whole passage of Kotzer, Haranai and Gimel Beis is very short. So we'll talk about this very interesting line in the Gemara that gets into Tolesh, talk a little bit about what Tolesh is, and segue from there into some of the practical halacha points, many of which do emanate directly from this line in the Gemara. So basically, there is apparently a tolda of Kotzer, which is Tolesh, which is separating. This is an expression, by the way, that comes up in the context of Gozes also. It could be there's more than one tolesh. There's a tolesh that is a tolda of kotzer and a tolesh that is a tolda of gozes. Perhaps the difference could be whether we're dealing with agriculture or we're dealing with animals. But there's a form of separating, let's say in this case, vegetation or produce that is not called kotzer but is rather called tolesh. What's the difference between kotzer and tolesh? So the principle that the Lefem Mishnah sets down, and we'll talk about it here a little bit, is that tolesh is done by hand, and kotzer is normally done with a kli. It's normally done with a utensil. The Magen Avos notes that there are those who try to suggest that maybe kotzer is you cut something off above ground, so to speak, while tolesh is you go in at the roots and you pull it out at the roots. But the Magen Avos says he thinks that would be a very difficult distinction, because that would make the tolda more fundamental, so to speak, than the av. Because here the av is defined as cutting something off from its source. So if you're going into the roots and pulling them out, that seems to be an even more absolute action, or an absolute action, we'll call it. So if that's the case, so why would we say that this is a tolda? That should be even hyper-av. So it's hard to imagine that that's the definition that makes tolesh into a tolda and kotzer into an av. So presumably, like the Lechem Mishnah said, and like it sounds like from elsewhere, that this is the idea that if you use a kli, it's kotzer, and if you use your hands, then it's going to be tolesh. So it's really a form issue. Does it have to be specifically the kli, or Nassim Bestetner has a discussion, I think it was just his first yahrzeit, in his Sefer Tal Nasa, and he has a discussion whether the kli has to be the specific kli that's done for kotzer, the scythe, I think that's how it's pronounced.
Scythe.
You know, don't do so much farming or too much communist flags. But if you have to use that round, sharp tool specifically, or can you use any tool? So that's a discussion. Maybe if you're focusing specifically on kederech, maybe it has to be not only with the utensil, but on the specific utensil that's used. It's a possibility. We don't really find that beferish, but that's a discussion that comes up later on. We'll see, we talk about borer, for example, that there's a big focus on borer being specifically with a kli, but that doesn't necessarily mean any kli. It may mean a kli specifically that is a selecting kli. So through here, maybe there is a specific kotzer kli as opposed to just any kli. So that's a little bit of a question. Okay, fine. The Netziv points out, by the way, just parenthetically, that it sounds like from the Yerushalmi that there's a disagreement here, that according to Yerushalmi, Tolish does seem to be listed as an av. Okay, but we're assuming here that it's a tolda, like the Rishonim here. And that gets us into this fascinating Gemara. The Gemara here in Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, the second half of the already short Kotzer Sugya. So says the Gemara, Amar of Papa, Hai man deshada pisa ledikla. Somebody throws a clump at a date tree. He wants to knock down some dates. The Asar Tamari, and Taka, that's what happens. So the dates fall down from the tree. He's chayiv shtayim. He's liable for two malachas. Achas mishum tolesh. He succeeded in knocking down the dates. The achas mishum mefarik. So what does that mean, achas mishum mefarik? That's not really our malacha right now. We'll come back to it. Mefarik is a told of dosh. So we're, say, two malachas away from it. But just to be aware, it's a machlokus rishonim how that works, the last part about dosh. If you take a look, we'll come back to it. But look at Rashi Mefarik, and if you look at Tosfos Dibur Maskil, the Achas Mishum Mefarik, so you see it's a machlokus between Rashi and the Ri as to how it's Mefarik. But again, that's not our sugi now, so we won't spend time on it. But just there's a lot going on in this one line of Gemara. So what exactly is the Mefarik reference? That's the Machlokas Rishon. But what we're interested in right now is Tolesh. So you are knocking down something from the tree. So that's an act of Tolesh, Yechayev. That's the opinion of Rav Papa. But Rav Ashi disagrees. Rav Ashi says, what are you talking about? Ein derech tlisha bekach, v'ein derech prika bekach. This is not the way you do things. This is not considered to be kederech. That's not the way you do either tlisha or prika, and therefore, apparently, you are not chayiv. As Rashi says, al yedei zrika, that's not the derech, ela o biyad o bekli, v'tolesh kla'achayad ho upatim. That seems to be the position that is being expressed of Ravashi, that you're patur. Presumably it's still usser, but it's pater, it's the way the Meiri expresses what this position is saying, that you can't call that a chiyev, you're pater. Presumably usser midirabbanim. So who's the halacha like here? So we don't really have any little letters, but it sounds like the halacha is like the second view. That's the way the later svarim seem to accept it, to get the last word in. So apparently the Gemara is making a statement here of exemption rather than chiyuv. It's making a statement l'kula, that this is not considered to be the normal derech of tlisha, and therefore we can't consider this to be a chiyuv. The Egel Tal points out that it sounds like from Yerushalmi, they put on this morning's Maramatomos, that if you directly shake the tree, that could be a tolda of kotzer. Because the Yerushalmi talks about not climbing on a tree, we'll talk about that a little bit more later, the Yerushalmi talks about it as a concern that maybe you will shake fruit off of the tree. So apparently, directly shaking fruit off the tree, that is a tolda, that is a direct malacha, but this kind of throwing something, that's not called a malach. So that's not called at least the derech of malach. So there is a big discussion, how much to read into this Rashi. And so it was Rashi, when Rashi says here, so what is considered to be kederech? O biyad, o bekli. Rashi says, considered to be kederech if you use your hands, so that'll be the tolda, or if you use the kli, that'll be the av. Those are considered to be kederech. So is that the whole story? Is that the entire list of everything that is kederech? So this was a major issue, because if you got to see on the Mar Makomos, there's a Rashi that suggests that there's something else that could also apparently be kederech. Right? The Rashi in Maseches Sukkah. If you saw a Gemara in Sukkah and Daf Lamed Vav Zayin, So there the Gemara says that a person should not smell an esrog that's on a tree. And the concern is that maybe if he likes the smell of the esrog and he decides it's appetizing, so maybe he'll come to rip the esrog off the tree. He'll come to be tolish it. And then Rashi goes on to say, or maybe he won't be tolish it, maybe he'll eat it on the tree. And ein lecha tlisha gadol mizeh. That's a definite tlisha. So that creates a whole story. What's Rashi saying? Is Rashi really saying yechayev d'oraisa for tolish if you eat something directly off the tree? So the Magen Avraham says no. Yeah, it's just an expression. He doesn't really mean that in terms of the chayev d'oraisa, that that's not actually the act of tlisha. And the Machzah Shekel notes that the Magen Avraham feels forced to say that. Why does he feel forced to say that? Because he thinks there's a stira in Rashi's. Thinks that the Rashi that we just read contradicts the Rashi in Sukkot. Because Rashi here says, what's the derech of Ksira Tlisha? Yad or Kli. And Rashi in Sukkot says, if you use your mouth to take a fruit off the tree, so that's a massive super Tlisha. So it sounds like it's somewhat of a contradiction. So you have to say that one of the Rashis is Lav Davka, and therefore says the Machzah Shekel, the Magen Avraham felt compelled to say that the Gemara in Sukkah is Lav Davka. It doesn't really mean it's actual Tlisha, because that's a contradiction to this Rashi over here. So that was actually a big discussion. Is this really true? What's the din of somebody who takes fruit off a tree with his mouth? So is he in violation of Tolesh on a level Menatar? So the Bechor Shor says he thinks absolutely. He seems very upset because he apparently was aware that this was going on. This seemed to be a practice. People were going into the orchards and eating fruit off of the tree directly, thinking that they were not in violation of Malacha, apparently based on Rashi. And the Bechor Shor says, no, what are you talking about? Rashi just is not, as the Gemara has the expression sometimes, of the Kiruchlu, who is the Tana, let's say, for example, is the Tana a merchant, a vendor who's got to list off all of his products, everything he has for sale. So too, Rashi here is not telling you every single thing that's going to be, every single body part you could theoretically use to remove a object from a tree. He doesn't feel a need to list all of that. Rashi's point is that if you're throwing something at something, that's not called derech tlisha. Doesn't mean to say that if you use your mouth instead of your hand, that that would also not be considered derech. So he notes that there is a Gemara in Menachos, where the Gemara is talking about eating, and put it on the list this morning also, where the Gemara notes that somebody who eats directly off a tree is considered to be shelo kederech, and we don't acknowledge his behavior, but ladaito eitzel das kol bnei adam, that his action is not considered to be significant. So he suggests the Bechor Shor that yes, maybe that's not a normal way of eating, but maybe it is a normal way of being tolish. That maybe you could be chayef for tolish at the same time as it's not considered to be a normal way of eating. That's a fascinating idea. There are those who seem to suggest the exact opposite. We'll discuss that in a second, but that's an interesting way of looking at it. Hi.
Why did they do tolish in the Mishkan?
Why did they do tolish? Because tolish is presumably the really kosher in the Mishkan.
Wasn't it? It was for the Simchat
Torah. Right. So since it's a told of kosher, so it's kosher that was done in the Mishkan. Kosher, assuming like Rashi and the others, is for the Simchat Torah. So that's. So that's how he assumes. He assumes that eating directly would be a chiyuv d'oraisa. Eglital assumes like this also. He says that's why smelling it is aser, because he's assuming otherwise it would be gzeira. I'm not 100% sure why, because maybe the gzeira is still that you'll pull it off specifically as opposed to you'll eat it directly. Maybe that's already an extra step removed. This seems to be the majority way of understanding this Rashi issue. The Tshuva Rav Poland has a long tshuva where he comes to the same conclusion, and he says also that separating fruit from a tree with your mouth is considered to be a total chi of daraisa, and even if other malachos done with your mouth are considered to be kalach or yad, That's in terms of other malachos, but in terms of this, it's considered to be direct holish.
Sammy? You said that
the tshuva is Rav Poland. If you want to look it up, yes, it's in Chelik Aleph or Chaim Simen Chaf.
That's the Mishnah?
I believe so, yeah.
If someone just removes the fruit from the tree with his mouth but doesn't eat it, is that the same thing as...
Oh, so that's a good question. So that's the next point. So there are those who suggest that maybe there is a distinction between the two, because the problem is there's a Tosefta. I also put on this morning's verse that there is a Tosefta in Shabbos. This is in Perek Yud. Tosefta Yud Aleph, where it says there, it seems to be a pretty big issue, it says Tolish Bepiv is Potter. So there are those who suggest that maybe the distinction that Gil is making is that maybe if you eat it, then it shows you're Machshavit, and then Tolish Bepiv is Chayiv. But if you don't eat it, then it's then it would be considered Shol Kederach, and it would be Potter. So that's a little bit...
So that is where you're making.
Sorry? That's right. That's how you assume that the Tosefta is the case where you're not eating. But that's a pretty major issue, that Tosefta.
If you use it for something else, then you can give it Chashivas by whatever you do with it, like mix it up in it or anything.
Sorry?
But whatever you do with it can be Chashivas. Eating won't have to be the only Chashivas. Use it, I don't know, to build a house.
If you use it immediately to build a house.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like the whole case of the Mishnah, not according to the Rishon anymore eating it.
Eventually you're eating it.
Is this the moment in?
What case are you talking about?
Saying if you, from what Gil was saying, that you just remove it, but you don't eat it right then and there, so that it takes away.
See, the normal purpose of kotzer is not for eating, according to right. So that's true. So, but the normal kotzer isn't done this way. It says that if you're choosing to do it this way, so then you have to be machshavu for that purpose. While we're talking about this Gemara, just different things that are possibly noteworthy from this Gemara while we're here. It's not necessarily a kosher point specifically, but it's just worth noting in terms of really the Mefarek point. So some of the Rishonim, such as the Ramban and the Chidushi Ritva Miyuchasim Loran, suggest that the Mefarek part comes when it lands on the ground. So you knock it free from the tree, that's kosher, and then it hits the ground, and it breaks open, and that's Mefarek. It's related to the whole Machlokas Rishonim about where the Mefarek is. So it's just interesting as a general Shabbos issue. That presumably would be an example of Koach Kochel. That's something that happens as a result of something that you caused. So we mentioned in the very beginning that your Sameach maintains that Koach Kochel is Pater on Shabbos. That's already too far removed from being an action. We had asserted that Shabbos has to be specifically about actions disturbing your rest, and therefore the Gor Sameach suggests that Koach Kochel is too far removed. So that's a little bit of a kasha against him from these Rishonim, because it sounds like these Rishonim are assuming a situation which really would seem to be Koach Kochel would be would still be Chayav. Okay. So this Gemara also could be relevant to another important issue that we alluded to the other day. A very interesting practical issue. And it's very relevant to what we were talking about the other day in terms of the whole conceptual framework. So we emphasized that we thought we had to see a positive goal in kotzer, that it has to be about obtaining something, and that we shouldn't view it just as killing the connection between the plant and its source of life, so to speak, killing the plant. That's not presumably the focus, that it shouldn't just be seen as the anti-Zoreya, but rather as harvesting the item. So we mentioned that would probably at least conceptually affect the question of whether or not it could be considered kotzer if you poison a plant. So if you cause a plant to die by pouring something on top of it that has a bad effect on it, so is that considered to be kotzer? So we touched upon this a little bit last week, right? Because there is a statement in the Yerushalmi that sounds like it might be, because the Yerushalmi talks about squashing one plant with another plant. You put an atznakov on top of another atznakov. So the Yerushalmi has a statement that you are chayev both mishum zoreya and mishum kotzer. And the Korban Ha'eda had said that it's kotzer because you're squashing the plant underneath. So that could give you the impression that simply suffocating a plant, so to speak, is an act of kotzer, which would be different than the picture that we painted where we're focused on obtaining something. However, it's not clear that this is really the maskana. First of all, we mentioned, we talked about Zareya, that it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch, that we talked about, for example, Mei Raglayim, that there, if the assumption is that it doesn't help the plants, and in fact hurts the plants, that it's not an issue of Zareya, we don't find the Poskim saying, but it is Kotzer. It seems like it's neither. Also, we talked about that Yerushalmi, about Zareya and Kotzer and moving the pot. So we mentioned, for example, that the Dvar Avram thought it wasn't so obvious that the Kotzer comes from the squashing, like the Korban Eidah was saying. Maybe the Kotzer is from when you move the pot the first time, and then it's Zareya again when you put it down. So in any event, it's relevant here because Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has a discussion about this very Shaila in his Har Tzvi. In the section on Shabbos in the back, is a section on the Malachos. So in Kotzer Os Dali, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has a discussion about this, and he thinks it's maybe a machlokas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, because he thinks based on this Bavli that we just read, at the very least, that would be Shalok Kederach. That's not the normal way of doing Kotzer. So he thinks, since the Gemara concludes, it's got to be Kederach, that we exempt somebody for doing Kotzer through throwing something at a tree. So too, we'd exempt somebody from doing Kotzer through pouring poison on a plant. Now, it's interesting. It's a funny cheshbon, because he could have said, could have argued on both fronts. Right, you could have said that the poison is both more kederach and less kederach. That if we focus on obtaining something, so the tree, okay, you went a roundabout way of doing it by throwing something, but at the end of the day, you get your fruit from the tree. While here, maybe the whole tachlis is different. You're just killing the plant. So maybe we should say you're even less chayev than this. But Sammy doesn't think so. Saying that, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank is saying that you can derive from here that we see there's a p'tur of Shalok Kederech, Tlisha, Ketzira, from this Gemara about throwing at a tree. So apparently, poisoning a plant, poisoning a tree, would have the same din. It'd also be Pater. So I'm wondering about the analogy, because we could say, you could go even further than that. You could say that this is worse. The case that our Gemara Paters is worse, because you're at least obtaining an item from the tree. While if you're just poisoning the tree, you're not even obtaining, you're not harvesting anything.
I mean, that's always the case by killing the plant.
It's not always the case, because until now, we're mostly talking about situations where you are separating something from a plant or a tree.
You're killing the plant.
You're not, you're separating from the plant. Correct.
You're taking one branch.
Here, right.
If you would kill the whole plant, you would also not technically be, I mean, you use poison, you could also use it for wood or whatever else you want if you want to use it.
So right, but we don't have this clear source that any of that would be called Kotzer. We don't know what the story is by any of that. This whole point is a new discussion, a point that
right.
Killing a plant, what we've been trying to advance last week is that Kotzer is not a destructive act.
Right.
It just happens to result in separating something from its source of life, but it's not about killing it. So this is a chiddush, this is a new level of discussion. What would happen if that's what you're trying to do, if you're trying just to stop it from living? Is that also called kotzer? So the closest thing to a source we really have is that Yerushalmi about squashing the plant, assuming that's what it's talking about.
You're saying we might not be able to infer anything from the Bavli at all because...
Right, we don't really have any direct source telling us that killing plants... per se.
That might be Makalkel.
Yeah, it sounds like it's Makalkel. It's not necessarily discussed as an example of Kotzer. So, a Raya in either direction, or Tzvi Pesach Frank says, okay, the Raya you have from the Bavli is that it's Pater, because it sounds like it's Shalok Kederech. It's as Shalok Kederech as throwing something at the tree. So, if that's the best you could do, we could say maybe it's even better than that. It's even less Chayev than that, because throwing something at the tree is at least a way of obtaining the fruit from the tree. But you say he notes that the Yerushalmi seems to say otherwise. Okay, so Yerushalmi says otherwise, maybe. So as we discussed, it could be the Yerushalmi could be read differently. That's possible. Or it could be it's Machlokas, the Bavli Yerushalmi, if you want to say it that way. Or it could also be, as he himself notes, as Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank goes on to say, that it's already a Machlokas in the Bavli. Right? It's a Machlokas between Rav Papa and Rav Ashi. So maybe... Yerushalmi is like Rav Papa, but again, here comes Rav Ashi and says, no, everything's got to be Kederach. and therefore maybe not. He goes on to say a fascinating point, that this could also be relevant to a few other interesting questions. What would you say if somebody would have a little barbecue? He'd go up to a tree, and he, it's a vegetarian barbecue, it's not so exciting. He would take a candle or something, and he'd cook a fruit on a tree. Yes. So for sure he'd be over Bishul. But would he also...
Does he have water?
Yeah. I mean, water for to be considered Bishul? If he's putting fire, that would constitute cooking. Barbecuing it. He's grilling it. Right, so you're saying, so in terms of Bishul Akum, if he has...
Nachanami?
You're addressing the Bishul Akum issue, you're saying, so it shouldn't be Chayev Bishul because it's... Okay, but what about in terms of kotzer? So if you're cooking it, he's separating its relationship to the tree through cooking it. So is that called kotzer?
And are you burning it, and that's the separation?
You're cooking it. So now once it's cooked, it's presumably going to divorce itself from the growth. I guess that's the
way it doesn't exist anymore either.
No, it'll become cooked fruit. Become a cooked apple.
Are you lighting the tree on fire?
No. You're just developing the fruit. You're making it...
While it's still on the tree.
Yeah, while it's still on the tree.
And it fall off afterwards because of the heat?
Doesn't necessarily fall off. It's cooked. It's now cooked on the tree.
That would be like, why would it be kotzer? It's Bishul, right?
It is Bishul also, presumably. But is it also kotzer?
Does the cooking kill the connection?
The cooking seems to call a connection. That's the way he describes it. So there is a discussion about this again in Rabbi Beis Ephraim. He thinks that that would be... Right, he thinks that would be considered to be kotzer. Right, it comes up. He thinks that would be considered to be kotzer. There's two chidushim. One is that's kotzer. He's not 100% sure about it. He's a little bit of a opinion. But one is he thinks that's considered to be kotzer. And two, what would happen then... After you've done this, if you then remove it from the tree, thinks that would also be considered kotzer. Ah, so that's his chiddush. He thinks that there is such a thing as kotzer after kotzer. So that's itself only possible if you see kotzer either meaning a range of different actions. So it could be that both separating something from a tree and bringing it to its next stage of development is considered to be kotzer. And that also requires defining kotzer in a certain positive way, not just by killing it, because that's that can't happen twice. Yes?
Didn't you mention somebody who said that kotzer might be removing the fruit from its yunika or from the place where it was grown?
Right.
So that, so in that theory, worked really well with
the right, in theory, you could do both. In theory,
right,
you could have...
Because right.
Two different ways of defining it. So it's a fascinating idea. There's a very lengthy footnote about this. It's interesting. There's a sefer called Halacha Shel Shabbos. It's a very, very thorough discussion of Halacha Shabbos. So he asserts in the top and the bottom. So he says in the top, he says that if you were cooking a fruit on a tree, that's both Bishul and Kotzer. And then the footnote, he has a long footnote talking about it. He says, but he didn't see anybody who really talks about it. So he didn't see this tshuva in the Sipei Sa Frank. So he doesn't refer to that. Except that he does acknowledge that there is a related discussion in the Shisa Sa Shabbos, that the Shisa Sa Shabbos had a dialogue with the Sipei Sa Frank about related issues. So that he refers to in this long footnote. But he doesn't refer to the Har Tzvi. So if you want to see a lengthy discussion about this, in the Halacha Shel Shabbos, he talks about it. It's in Parak Hay or Samaches. If you have the sefer, it's a very current sefer. It came out relatively recently. Hay Samaches. But what he assumes Halacha Lamais is that you cook a tree, you cook a fruit on a tree. You're Chayiv Mishum Bishul and Mishum Kotzer. And if you take it off later, you're Chayiv Mishum Kotzer yet again. Hi.
Just in terms of what Avram was saying. Mm-hmm. So that when something is nefach moshu chai, and then you cook it on Shabbos, you're potter. because you're not making it any more edible.
So you're saying it shouldn't be considered to be Bishul from that angle. That's an interesting heart. We'll have to look at that when we get to Bishul, why he's so sure that it's a Bishul issue. So it doesn't affect the Kotze question. We'll have to figure out how that affects the Bishul question. Hi.
You know, in the Zohar of Tzarech Leis, and we brought an idea that Torah doing two malachas in one action, and that if you don't have kavanah for the second one, then it doesn't count. So with here, when you're a five says for coach there and Bishul, you don't care about that coach. Really cares that it's being cooked. You're going to do coaching again afterwards. Other than that.
Unless we define, it's an interesting question, and I think it's a valid point, that maybe you should say you don't care about the kotzer, it shouldn't count. Although the question might be, how do we define kotzer? You know, if we define kotzer as bringing this to the next stage of development, so that maybe your act of cooking it as an intentional act, which we are now defining also as kotzer, maybe that's called caring about it. It's interesting point, but that might be the way to look at it.
So there's no issues also there.
Right. It does seem to be an odd thing to do. So that's all a fascinating discussion, which all emanates from really this line of the Gemara, basically, how far do we want to go with this whole Kederach discussion. And this also does relate to the Yisurim Drabanan that are related to Kotzer, so we want to discuss those a little bit, so let's just mention them for the next few minutes, and then we'll close off this topic. So there are essentially just a handful of points to be aware of. That one is that there is a prohibition, midrabanan, the Gemaras that appear in Maseches Eruvin, in Maseches Beitzah, in Maseches Shabbos. Again, they were on the list of Ramakomas this morning. Some of them we saw before in other contexts. There is a prohibition to use a tree. You can't climb on a tree. You can't use a tree on Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch points out you can touch a tree as long as you don't shake it, but you can't climb on it and you can't put stuff on it. And that includes both the tree and the tzadin. So things that are attached to the tree, you also can't use. If you're two steps removed already, it's the tzidei tzadin, the things attached to things attached to the tree, so that you are allowed to use. It's a little bit of discussion, what's called tzidei tzadin and what's called tzadin. So for example, a ladder leaning on a tree is called tzadin, presumably, because the ladder is leaning on the tree, so then that's a indirect use of the tree, which is also contained within the gzeira. But if something was attached to the ladder, it was a separate item from the ladder, so that would possibly be considered a tzidei tzadin. So what would you say about a treehouse? So it's the Gemara about sukkah, talks about that. The Gemara says if you have a sukkah that one wall is a tree, it's a problem to go into it on Yantif. Maybe it's only good for Chol HaMoed. So how exactly the treehouse is constructed and how exactly it's counted. So this is a suffix in the Migdal David. You know what the sefer Migdal David is? Yes, for David Ribiat. It's the footnotes in the back of the 39 Malachos Shabbos book. So people aren't necessarily aware of that name, but it's particularly relevant here because of the Tower of David. So if your son David builds a tower in a tree, so it's a suffix whether or not you could use it, let's say, on Shabbos, so that he's not so sure about this. Yeah, he used that as a suffix, whether that's called studden or tzidei studden.
Why is it not just studden?
Yeah, what's the question?
Sorry?
Why is it not
because what are you using? What are you moving? If the floor is attached to a wall and the wall is attached to the tree, is it all one entity? How do you count things? That's a couple of grounds to possibly divide things. What if you have a tree? Yes, sir?
What if you have a tree stump?
That's exactly what I was going to say. Perfect infomercial segue. So what if you have a tree stump? So a tree stump, the Aruch HaShulchan and Eglital and others note that should be mutter. Because a tree stump, even though if you have a tree that has no branches at all, we still ask you from using it, even though there's nothing you could be kotzer off of it. That's because of lo plug, because we're afraid to make distinctions. But if you have a tree stump, so there isn't any possible serious tree stump, is essentially a dead tree, and it doesn't have tsuras ilan anymore, it doesn't have the form of a tree, it looks different, So then, combined with the fact there isn't really any possibility of Kasira, assuming it's a dead stump, if it's still growing, so then you may have issues. But assuming that it's been stumped for a while, it's a dead tree, and it doesn't have, therefore, potential of kotzer, nor does it look like a tree, so that you'll think you can use other trees that are kotzer, so then that's what they write, that that should be permissible. That should be not subject to this there. Hi.
I think this touches a little bit on the Gemara and the Erevin that we saw. So what about if it's like winter, where there's clearly no anything on the tree, just branches?
Right. So then there's a discussion about that. Some Sfarim suggest that maybe there's a chiluk between winter and summer, and others suggest that they're not so comfortable with such a distinction, and it's a little fluid, but there is a discussion in the literature about that, about possibility.
So if it's just something, whether it's unclear for study, so they've burned a treehouse, can you be more makele for winter than maybe?
Yeah, you can maybe, throw that in. There is such a discussion. Hi.
But with, even in the winter, when we said Zohar Ritzara hates him, that's the Eitzim itself.
Right.
Why? We're not scared that he'll break the Eitzim himself as opposed to something like the fruiter. And even in the winter, the trees, the part of the tree is there.
Right.
Well,
yeah, that's also a question whether or not that's the issue. That's all part of the discussion. There is such a discussion. That's true. So there is an unusual kind of knas here, and that comes out from the Gemara and discussion of Shulchan Aruch. There is an unusual kind of knas that is very awkward, that if you decide to climb up on a tree on Shabbos, which is prohibited, so try to do it as late in the day as possible, because Chazal made a knas that you can't come down. So it's very awkward and embarrassing, and it's hard to explain to your friends. So this is definitely one to avoid. But it's odd in a couple of, besides the fact that it puts you in a strange position, it's hard to explain from a lamdish perspective. The way Rashi explains it is that if you're going to go down from the tree, you're also going to be using the tree. So Chazal constant you to stay there. The problem is that staying there is also using the tree. And in fact, in situations where the knas doesn't apply, like let's say if somebody goes up the shogeg, so then we say, since he's not subject to the knas because he did it inadvertently, or for example, if Harfina says the same would apply to a child, he thinks the child could be considered shogeg as well, that if a child goes up, he's allowed to go down, and not only is he allowed to go down, but we should say all these people to whom the knas doesn't apply should be mechuyev to go down, because otherwise they're enjoying usage of the tree by staying up there. David, a question about that?
Yeah, what's the issue of using the tree?
So there's a prohibition with Rabbanan of using the tree, because we're worried you're going to pull branches off, or worried you're going to come to kotzer. So then this knas says, once you climbed up, which you shouldn't have done, so you can't come down. So the problem is, if we're worried about you continuing to use the tree, you're continuing to use the tree either way. If you stay up, you're using the tree, and if you come down, you're using the tree. So why do we say, no, you can't come down because you're using the tree, but you have to stay up, which is also called using the tree. So it's difficult. But Eglei Tal has a discussion about this, and he says, well, they're both using the tree, but staying up there is passive use of the tree, and coming down is active use of the tree, so together with the knas, we make you pick the passive use of the tree, shave al pasta, so to speak, rather than the active use of the tree. I think you could probably also say that, you know, Knossos Lav Lehenis didn't know that essentially if the knas applies, so Chazal say that's not called usage, that you're up there because of the knas. So now coming down would be using the tree, and staying up there is not called using the tree, so the knas, because the knas now makes your staying up there into not something you're doing for your personal benefit. You're doing that as a penalty. So therefore, we don't consider that a usage unless you're not subject to the knas. So it probably comes out that way. Hi.
But if the tree is not too tall, that you could just jump off?
Oh, perfect segue question. That's exactly what I'm about to get up to next. So so that issue was raised. There are those, such as the Shemir Shabbos Kehilchosa, who suggest that if you can get off by just jumping, having gone too high, so then you should be allowed to do that, because that's what seems to be implied by what Rashi was saying. When Rashi was saying that coming down, you're using the tree, so maybe, as Ephraim points out, if you jump off the tree, so you're not using it, so then that should be okay. So there are many who assume like that. Sorry?
Falling out would be one thing, because you're not using it as a platform.
You need to launch yourself.
Right.
Maybe. Okay, I guess that could be true. So Betty should try to trip off the tree. Let go and see what happens. Maybe. Hi.
We're trying to get out of this. It could be a problem there, right? So even if you, let's say it is high up, but you know you won't kill yourself, you're going to break your legs to jump off.
No, you're definitely not mechuyev to break off. And we'll talk about that more in a second. But no, you're not mechuyev to break off. You're not mechuyev to jump off at all. The question is, should we allow you to jump off? If you say you can't come down, so the default in here is you can't come down. The chiddush that Shmir Shabbos and others are saying is that maybe you just can't climb down, but maybe you can jump off. So the question is that true or not? So there are those who assume like this. So Ribiyat actually points out that it's important kula also because, technically speaking, this gezeira only applies above 3 tefachim. But let's say you have roots of a tree that are thick, so it's above 3 tefachim. So somebody could theoretically just walk on one without really thinking about it so much on Shabbos, and then might theoretically be subject to this gezeira also. He's not thinking about it at all, so maybe he's a shogeg. But strictly speaking, that could be a less involved kind of climbing. You might be considered climbing. So should we say that you can't keep walking, now you have to stay there? So if you have this cooler, then you can jump off. So that's certainly something you can easily just step off of. So that's an important cooler to rely on if the cooler applies. So again, there are those who believe in this. The Mishmas Shabbos, with Harfenis, he thought it was a little hard to believe. Because he says, first of all, so one of the things you're not allowed to do with using a tree is you can't take something off of a tree, even if it's not fruit that involves tolesh. But let's say it's something on a hook on a tree, or you want to hang your jacket on a tree, so you're not allowed on a branch, so you're not allowed to do that. You can't hang it on the branch, and you can't take it off of the branch. So what's the difference, he says, between taking your jacket off the branch or jumping off the tree? They're both just causing something to be removed from the tree. And apparently that's called shtamshus. So he's not sure why this is true. And he also notes how come the earlier poskim didn't say this. There's a possibility that he could jump off. So he is surprised that such a hetter is suggested. But again, there are major gedolim who suggest it. So that's presumably at least a strong jumping off point. There are other circumstances. Again, this is kind of an unusual type of gzeir already. Just lumdish-wise, it's an unusual type of knas. But also, practically, it's an unusual type of knas. And so let's say the weather starts changing and it starts getting cold or it starts raining, it starts snowing. So then things get more complicated. So it's pointed out in the Svarim that certainly if there's a sakana involved, so you're not mechuyev or allowed to stay up there, makom sakana, and then presumably also not even just sakana, but even if it's a situation of tsar or a situation of kavod abrios, so you're also allowed to come down because kavod abrios overrides a din rabbanan and a knas rabbanan presumably also. So if the whole town is going to come by and laugh at you as you're stuck up there in the tree, maybe that would also be a case that you can come down, or if you need to use the bathroom, you can come down. So again, depending on what time you went up there, if you go up there Friday night, the chances you're going to be able to stay up there the whole day without having to come down for that purpose is slim. So the situations in which it's not going to be subject to some kind of heter, kavod abrios or a tsar heter or a jump-off heter or something like that, or a shogeg heter, are very hard to imagine. It's hard to imagine a scenario where this is really in real life going to come up. A discussion I didn't see, but I wonder if it applies, is that there are those who maintain when it comes to tefillos tashlumin, and it sounds like from the Gemara says that if you miss davening, so you can make it up. If you miss minchah, you can daven ma'ariv twice. But the din from the Gemara is that you have to miss it b'shogeg, that if you decide to purposely skip mincha and daven two ma'arivs, we don't let you do it. But it says in the Shulchan Aruch, if I remember correctly, or at least in those that came in the Shulchan Aruch, that the very broad category that's considered to be shogeg is considered to be not mazid, that allows for tashlumin. And also, even somebody who did do this b'mazid can do tshuva, and says the Gemara, right, gedol tshuva, shezidonis lo nasin lo kishgagos, that you're amazed it gets made into a shogeg, and maybe you can daven tashlum in there also. So I wonder, a person who realizes he's stuck up in a tree all Shabbos, if he does tshuva and going up there in the first place, if that can help. Probably not, because you don't find that abroad. It would probably come up in other areas also, but even without that, it seems that there are a number of situations in which this knas is not going to fully apply. It's very hard to imagine somebody being stuck up in a tree for any extended period of time and not having a covenant brios issue. But so if all the circumstances apply, a person really willfully gets up there. See, it's also hard to figure out. See, this idea of you're doing tshuva is probably not going to be applicable, because they could bring a raya from Tosfos and Daf Dalet we mentioned earlier in the year, that it could be suggested the person definitely did tshuva, because if he's willing, one of Shachi does tshuva, because if he's willing to be stuck up there in the tree, so it shows he's so frum about the Gzeira Derabanan that clearly he's done tshuva for his initial violation of, it's the same iser, right? Coming down is the same iser as going up. So if he's willing to stay up in the tree and observe this knas, so that shows that he's done tshuva on this initial same aveira of going up in the first place. So mamela tshuva doesn't help make it into a shogeg. But again, it's a very unusual type of knas, a very unusual type of gzeir. Hi.
Just to transition to the next point. So what about the cat if you climb up the tree to save? Can you take that out with you?
So can you bring the cat down? So the cat, if it's your own cat, if it's a... so that cat could be a tzar bala chayim issue. Cat stuck, that might be a heter already. Sometimes we allow their abundance for... but you could segue in a different way. What if you want to use your cat? What if you want to ride on your cat? So that is another Isser Mishum Kotzer that we find as an Isser Derabanan not to use animals, right? That which the Gemara talks about here. Can't ride on animals on Shabbos because there's a concern of Kotzer, which is kind of a double concern. We're concerned that you're going to want to take off a branch in order to guide it, let's hope gently, with the branch. Also, let's say if you're riding on a horse, you're closer to the branches than you would be if you weren't riding on a horse, so you're doubly vulnerable to taking off a branch and doing something with it. So we have this gzeira, and it's a low plug across the board gzeira. So even if you're in a desert and there's no trees around, or even if you're using an animal which you don't really ride on, whatever it is, there's a broad-based gzeira not to use an animal. And all usage is called riding on, apparently, the way the post can explain, even if that's not exactly what you're doing. All usage is included in this gzeira, all one gzeira mishum kotzer. Hi. So when they make, in general, it's sometimes hard to figure out when something's a gzeira or gzeira, or something's all one across the board gzeira. This is how the Svarim understand. So the Mishnah Berurah points out that that's the case, that everything is all... it's all one big idea. Using animals is all a broad picture of riding on a horse and possibly taking branches off a tree to guide it along. Hi.
So, what's considered usage? Like, you see people who have animals.
Right. Animals have all kinds of issues on Shabbos. We could talk about them bimkomon. There are muksa issues potentially, and there are potentially all kinds of other issues. But not everybody you see with animals, separate from other issues, are involved, not necessarily using them.
So walking a dog or something.
Right, that wouldn't be using it. Whatever issues it has, we could talk about, but it's not necessarily your usage. But having a carrier stuff would be considered usage. Putting stuff on it, taking stuff off it would be considered. Gemara talks about that, and about how you deal with that situation if your stuff already is on an animal before Shabbos. That would be considered usage. And all of that is this gzeira that we're afraid you're going to come to cut it off. So, or we're afraid you're going to come to cut off a branch in order to use it. It's pointed out that the Yerushalmi also seems to suggest that it's an issue of Shvisas Behema, that we're also concerned that you're not supposed to have your animals working on Shabbos. You should be at rest on Shabbos, and your animals should be at rest on Shabbos. But as the Mishnah Berurah notes, that's probably not the reason that we assume, because we paskin chaynosei es atzmo, that so if you're riding on a horse, so it's not like the horse is in violation of hotzah by carrying you, because there would be a drabanan for the horse, and the horse is not, we weren't gozer drabanan from the horse, because chaynosei es atzmo. So So therefore, that's not the issue. The issue is the issue we're concerned that you will violate the kotzer while doing that. Okay, so let's just quickly chazer we spoke about today, and that will do it for us for kotzer. So we discussed some of the halacha l'maisa points in connection with the issue of tolesh. We talked about the fact that there is what seems to be a tolda of tolesh, even though the Yerushalmi sounds like it's an av. We assume it's a tolda. The distinction seems to be that tolesh is with your hands, opposed to with a kli. And that's the way Lacha Mishnah explains. The Magen Avos says that it's not about uprooting it from the roots, because that would make it even more kotzer dik than the av, and that wouldn't make sense. And we discussed the suffix of the Tal Nasan about whether it has to be the specific tool of kotzer or any tool, but that's a little bit of an open suffix. And then we talked about this line of the Gemara that talks about throwing a clump of dirt at a tree and knocking something down. That is apparently both a violation, according to Rav Papa, of Tolesh and Mefarik. Mefarik is Machlokas Hal, we'll talk about it later. And Abaye disagrees, and it seems to be carries the day by saying, no, that's not Derech Tlisha or Derech Prika. And we saw that Rashi seems to say that's right, because the only thing that's Derech is Yad or Kli, apparently excluding everything else and possibly contradicting what he says in Sukkah, where he says that if you would bite an Esrog off a tree, Eilacha Tolesh Gadol Mizeh. So that creates a whole discussion. What is the status of biting something off a tree? Is that Tolesh or not? So the Magen Avraham says it's not real Tolesh Min HaTorah. That's because, as Mashal Shekel says, he's forced to say one of these Rashis is Ladavka because they contradict each other. But many others, such as the Bechor Shor, the Rav Polim, and others, assume no, it's total Daraisa to eat something off a tree. It's total Tolesh. And Rashi was just not listing everything, or other possible differences. I think Gemara Menachah says Batla Daito, so says the Bechor Shor Batla Daito for eating, but not for Tolesh. And then we mentioned the a little bit opposite implication of the Tosefta. The Tosefta says you are putter for Tolesh B'Peh. And we mentioned that there are those who suggest only if you're just Tolesh, but for Tolesh and eating it, then you are being machshavit as Tolesh. We mentioned also the parenthetical point that it sounds like from the Gemara, the way the Rishonim understand, some of the Rishonim understand the Mefarik part, that you could be chayiv even for koach kocho, for knocking one thing that knocks another thing, and that's also perhaps against the Or Sameach, who says that doesn't happen in terms of Melacha Shabbos. And we mentioned the major issue of whether you can be in violation of kotzer if you poison a plant on Shabbos, which challenges a little bit our conception that we had last week of a positive definition of kotzer, but we said it's not so clear that there is a violation of kotzer in doing this. That sounds like from Yerushalmi that there is, because Yerushalmi talks about squashing one plant with another and calling it kotzer. That's the way the Korban HaEda understands it, but there are other ways to read the Yerushalmi. It could be it's talking about kotzer from the initial uprooting of the pot. And Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank discusses this, the machlokus between the Bavli, which says you're pater for lo kederach, and the Yerushalmi, which says that about squashing. And suggests also that maybe the Rishonim is following the first day in the Bavli, and maybe we follow the second day in the Bavli. And we discussed a little bit whether we thought the analogy was perfect, how the analogy could possibly be different anyway. And then Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank goes on to discuss a fascinating issue. If you cook a fruit on a tree, so he assumes at least he considers, he's a little bit of a tzarachin in the conclusion, that you could be chayev kotzer for doing that. And then you could be chayav kotzer again for taking that off from the tree. Two chidushim in that point. Very significant issue. We mentioned the discussion about this in the halacha shel Shabbos, who assumes both those things to be true of halacha, that it's kotzer for cooking on the tree and it's kotzer for then removing it from the tree a second time. And then we got into the discussion of some of the drabbanans. We talked about the drabbanan of not climbing on a tree. And we talked about the difference between studim and sedate studim and the suffix about the treehouse. And then we talked about also about the very unusual knas for the gzeira, that if you go up, you can't go down. Rashi explained that going down means you use it again. We discussed the suffix about why it should be preferable to stay up there than going down. Both of them are forms of using it, as we find by those who the gzeira doesn't apply to, a shogeg or a child. They're supposed to come down davka because otherwise they're using the tree by staying up there. So why do we continue davka for that usage as opposed to saying they're both a problem? You mentioned Egle Tal, who says that Sheval Taisa Adif, better you should use it passively than use it actively. We suggested that maybe because of the Knas, we just don't consider that usage if the Knas applies to you. And discuss the fact that there are some poskim who maintain, quoting Ephraim, that maybe if you jump, then like Rashi says, it's not using the tree, so maybe you should be allowed to jump off the tree, which could be. The Shemir Shabbos is noted that way, but the Nishma Shabbos of Harfenis had a couple of questions on that approach. And then we talked also about the fact that in any event there would be heterim for Sakana certainly, and also for Tsar and Kavod Abriya, so it's pretty hard to imagine you could be stuck up there any length of time without encountering some of these heterim, so it's questionable how much of a knas there ever really would be. And then we talked also about the gzeira of not using animals. That's all considered to be one large gzeira, that even though the prime example would be, for example, riding on a horse in a forest where you're likely to take branches off a tree and hit your horse with it, but nonetheless, the Xavier applies low plug, so it even applies if you're riding a walrus in the desert. It's all, whatever the situation is, it's all one big Xavier. And mentioned the Yerushalmi, that suggests it's an issue of Shvisas Behemto, but the Mishneh Berurah points out that that wouldn't apply to us because we say, Kainosa Yitzatzmo, so it's not like the animals actually doing a malacha, but rather it's this Xavier Mishneh Kotzer, and that's the prime reason why we have all of these in the Rabbanan. Okay, so again, so any questions on any of that? All right, so that is that's our basic discussion for Kotzer. Got a woman we'll gather here tomorrow for Ma'amer. And we'll talk about it in due time.